So we have a sugya here on Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Beis about miut. And what that means is if you have a kosel that is 10 tefachim high between two chatzeros, then it serves as a mechitza and it separates the two chatzeros in such a way that they can no longer create an eruv between the two of them, and each chatzer will therefore require its own eruv, unless we could be mamayit the kosel. Now, one of the options for miut kosel is that of Rabbi Yechiel, which is at the bottom of Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. And Rabbi Yechiel says, Kofa Seifel Memait. And we have a case of a Seifel, which I didn't look up the English, but I'm going to translate it as some sort of a barrel or a tub or something that he turns upside down.
A basin.
And it has the length of 4 tefachim, which means that when you, so to speak, attach this seifel to the kosel, the width of the seifel is now 4 tefachim. So the seifel now goes across the kosel a minimum of 4 tefachim, and it's memayit. And the Gemara is going to go through a whole discussion as to how to understand Rabbi Yechiel, because we have a principle that in order to be mamayit, you need something permanent, something kavua. And when you put down the sefel, there's no reason, there's no inhibition to taking it away. It's not attached to the ground. And in that sense, it's very temporary. Why should and how should it serve as a mute? So that's Gemara's kasha. I'll just read it very quickly. V'amai davar hanitel b'shabesu, v'davar hanitel b'shabes eino memayit. And the Gemara says, lo tzricha dechabre bi'ara. So it wasn't just that he turned over a tub or a basin and he put it down on the ground, you know, tzamud to the kosel, but in addition he set up afar all around. And now the sefel is set inside the afar in such a way that now it became mechubal karka. And if it's mechubal karka, now it's not a dovra nital, and it's permanent, and it can serve as a mute. And then the Gemara is going to quote a long brisa to try to disprove this, because the brisa, again, there are many different dimensions to this brisa. You could probably spend a long time on this, but suffice it to say that the brisa here, going on to Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, says that v'nitolin b'shabes, that if you have a vegetable, whether it's a turnip or an onion, whatever it might be, and it's sort of submerged in the ground, and they did this in order to speed up the process of maturation, it would develop in the ground, then you're allowed to pull this off on Shabbos, meaning you're allowed to pull it out of the ground on Shabbos if there are leaves above the level of the ground. And the Gemara says that you see clearly that when you have something submerged in the ground, it's considered a Dovra Nital B'Shabbos. So we don't understand Rav Yechiel. How could he say that you're memayit al yidei sefel? Even if we're going to say, as we tried to say before, that it somewhat sunk in the ground, but nevertheless, from this brisa we see that it's still a dovra nitol b'shabbos. You're allowed to take it out on Shabbos as long as it's megula lamala, which is true for the case of the lefes, but certainly it's true for the case of Rav Yechiel's sefel. Now the Gemara tried to interpret Rav Yechiel as a sefel that yeshlo ognayim. Once again, that was at the bottom of Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. Now, if it has ognayim, so the rim, which he now turns upside down, is once again sunk into the ground. The Gemara thinks in the Havamina before it slugs us up, that when he lifts up, if he were to lift up the sefel on Shabbos, then he's in effect creating a cavity in the ground. Why? Because since the ground is now sitting on top of this ognayim, then when he lifts it up, the afar around the ognayim is now gonna fall off, and he's making a hole in the ground. So the Gemara says that that's not true, because we see that Nitola b'Shabbos, that you're allowed to take it out on Shabbos, you're not considered creating a hole in the ground. And the Gemara answers, Lo Tzricha, and this is on line 3 on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. Here's where I want to perhaps put some of our study together, is the Boi Mara v'chatzina. And he needs certain utensils, Mara v'chatzina. In my translation, he calls it a garzen, or a matzeh, different kinds of utensils that he needs to pull the sefel out from the ground. And since he needs these utensils, then apparently he's violating an Iser Chofer, and he's not allowed to do that on Shabbos. And therefore, because of the violation of the Iser Chofer, we have something that's Eino Nitol b'Shabbos, it's permanent, and hence it could serve as a mute. Okay, so that's the simple...
So you see from that it was put in before Shabbos.
Now, what I'd like to read to you is the Ritva. The Ritva on Masechta Erevin is very, very critical. And he writes the following, Lo tzricha deboil mora v'chatzina. Hashto vadai eino nitol b'Shabbos. Dehavile kechofer. Uvadai eino nitol b'Shabbos. V'lo chai shinon. Shema yachpar b'Shabbos. V'yitlenu. Shalom nechshudu Yisrael lechal Shabbosos. Now, let me just point out that there's a Reisha and a Seifa in the Ritva's presentation. At the beginning of the paragraph, he says that Vade Eino Nitol B'Shabbos. In other words, he's invoking the principle of Dovash Eino Nitol B'Shabbos, which is the Isa Mukta. And we have different levels of mukta. Mirtz Hashem will try to talk about that a little bit later, but this is the most severe kind of mukta. It's a mukhmamach masa isur. You know, this is a case like moving around a candelabra, and you might extinguish the candle. And here also, if you try to move around this sefel with a mara v'chatzina, then you'd be violating the isur chofer, and therefore... this is a real classic mukta. But then in the Sefer he says, V'lo chai shinon, shema yachbar b'Shabbos v'yitlenu, shalo nechshidu Yisrael l'chal Shabbosos. And he gives a second explanation as to why this is called kavua, this is called permanent, and therefore it's memayin. And he says, because no one's going to take it away, because if they do so, they'd be violating the Yisr Chofer. And lo nechshedu Yisrael litol b'Shabbos. Now, I don't understand one thing here. If he starts with mukta, then that should be sufficient. Why does he have to tell me that lo nechshedu Yisrael l'chal Shabbos? I mean, are you implying that if nechshedu Yisrael l'chal Shabbosos, then it would be considered lo kavua? It's not kavua because... I don't care about the Iser Chofer. I care about the fact that people are going to take it away. So the implication of the Ritva is that the issue of whether or not this is Mamayit, i.e. whether or not we should assume it's a Dovra Nital, a Dovra Sheino Nital, if it's Nital, then it's not Mamayit. If it's Eino Nital, it's Mamayit. That hinges on what I call the Mitzius. will he take it or will he not take it? Which in turn depends upon whether Nechshedu Yisrael l'chal Shabbosos. It's not dependent upon Muktzah. But yet the Ritva opens up with Muktzah. In other words, there seems to be a confusion here in the Ritva, if I read this correctly. On the one hand, he opens up with Muktzah. And why is the Mar of Chatzina Muktzah? Because it's a Klisha Malachto. No, let me go even beyond that. It's not just a Klisha Malachto Isur. It's Muktzah Machmas Isur. And then he backtracks and he says, wait a minute, let's ask a different question. Forget about Muktzah. Forget about the fact that it's a Dover Sheino Nitol B'Shabbos. Let's ask a different question. Is some Joe going to come along and remove this Marv Chatzina? Well, that would qualify or constitute a Meleches Chofer. And then we have to ask whether Nech should do or Lo Nech should do. Just to summarize, what I'm trying to say is I see in the Ritva that he's operating on two different levels. And I'm not sure why yet. I have a suspicion that maybe we could come up with some thesis, but one level is he's talking about the din of Muktzah, and the other level he's talking about the mitzius of whether or not this miut is going to be removed on Shabbos. And what is the determining factor? Is it the halach of Muktzah, or is it the mitzius as to whether or not it'll actually be removed? That seems to be a kind of a, if you can...
There's a fundamental difference between this case and all the other cases. All the other cases involve a ladder or a step or an itztava or something where you're not taking a kli and using it for something that's not its primary shimush. The ladder, its primary shimush is to make access. They're all portals. You could describe as a staircase.
Let me try to point out one thing. I don't know if in your Gemara you have Rabbeinu Hananel.
Sure.
And again, you may have a different.
And I have a magnifying glass to see it.
In my Gemara.
Yeah.
On Daf Ayin Zayin Amid Beis,
okay,
Rabbi Nachmanel is printed on the right side of the page.
Mine too.
And if you go down about, I would say, maybe 5-6 lines, he explains Da Hasefel Lo Yochol Lemishmete.
Got it.
Right, Ella Ad Dechafir. Bimana Bimara Uvechatzina. And then he just says She'eno Nito Bishabis. Lefichach Mimayr Bekosel. He doesn't mention anything about whether or not Bnei Yisrael are chashud on Chil Shabbos. That whole addition of the Ritva is completely omitted by Rabbeinu Hananel. Now, it's according to Rabbeinu Hananel, if you want to know whether it's Mamayit or not Mamayit, just ask one question. Is it a Dover Anito B'Shabbos, or is it not a Dover? It was a Dover She'eno Anito B'Shabbos. And Mara V'Chatzina, what's it called? Mara V'Chatzina is not Anito B'Shabbos.
But Mara V'Chatzina is not what is making the... The miut, it's not the mamayit. The kli is making the miut. The marav hakatzina is a way to dislodge the miut.
Right, and he's saying that since the
Lahavdil, in all the other cases, let's take the five cases.
According to Rabbeinu Hananel, if the only way that you can get this sefel out of the ditches, right, you know, is through violating the Isur Muktzah, then it becomes the sefel itself, like you say, the kli becomes a mamayit. Why is it a mamayit? Because I don't have the wherewithal and the ability to take the sefel out of the ground, and therefore it's a dover shein anito b'shabbos. But again, my point is, again, if you If you just focus your attention, we'll try to get to Sulam and all the other cases. I just want to know one thing. When we're talking about, is it a Mamayit or is it not a Mamayit? Is it contingent on one issue and only one issue? That's what I see here in Rabbeinu Chananel. I.e., is it a Dover Anito B'Shabbos or is it not a Dover Anito B'Shabbos? Or do we have to introduce another element into the equation? And that is, Lamaisa, would somebody remove it or not? You know, it's more of almost a psychological question. And that's where the Ritva comes to the front, and he says, no, it's not enough to tell me, well, it's a Dover Shein Anito B'Shabbos. You have to add another question. You have to answer another question, and that is, would somebody actually remove it? Whereas Rabbi Chananel is looking at something from what I call an abstract or halachic perspective, and he wants to know, is it b'mayit or not? Well, that depends upon the Isur Muktzah. Rabbi Chananel somehow introduces another element in the equation. And I'll be honest with you, if it were up to me, I would say that according to the Ritva, the real issue of b'mayit and not b'mayit is the Mitzias issue. Like, for example, the Gemara is going to talk about Kovdan Kovam, right? So it's going to be too heavy. That doesn't mean it has to be Muktzah, although there is such a sheet in the Rishonim. But I would say no. The question is, psychologically, are you going to remove it or you're not going to remove it? That's a Mitzias question. And the answer is, well, if it's very heavy, I'm not going to remove it. And the Ritva says, in this case of Marva Chatzina, Lamaisa, psychologically, I can promise you, no one's going to remove it. Why? Because Lo Nechshedu Yisrael Al Chil Shabbos. But the only question you're going to ask me is that if this pshat in the Ritva is correct, then why does the Ritva open up his resha by saying that it's Eino Nito B'Shabbos? Forget about Eino Nito B'Shabbos. I don't need the issue of whether or not it's Muktzah Machmas Iser. I don't have to be a lamdan and learn all the sugis of Muktzah, you know, half of a Sech the Shabbos, you know, to answer the Ritva's question. Leave that all out. The Ritva could have gone straight to the beeline. He could have gone straight to the gergel and just simply saying, no one's going to remove it. That's all. It's a Meleches Chafira. No one's going to violate Meleches Chafira because Amech Kulam Tzadikim. But I think the Ritva might be adding another Tanai. Meaning, if you ask me whether it's a Mamayit or not Mamayit according to Ritva, that's a Mitzias question. But the Ritva says that apparently there's another requirement, another condition. Why? Because if you're dealing on psychological terms, whether or not Lamaisa is going to, you know, take the Marav Chatzina out and, you know, he's going to excavate the Sefel and violate Melechus Chofer, what you're missing is, according to the Ritva, is an element called a Dover HaMamayit. We need a Dover HaMamayit. Now, it's true that Lamaisa, no one's going to take it out. So in that sense, it's Kavua Bimkoma. But that doesn't say a word about the Dover HaMamayit. The Ritva has to add another element into the equation. But again, I think it's secondary, whereas in Rabbeinu Chananel it's primary. And that is that you need a Dover HaMamayit. What does that mean, you need a Dover HaMamayit? It's not enough to say that we, in terms of our behavior pattern, will not remove the Marav Chatzina or not use the Marav Chatzina. We have to go a step further according to the Ritva, and we have to find some sort of halachic basis for calling this a Dover HaMamayit and establishing some sort of status over here. And the status here is Muktzah. So whereas the Rabbeinu Chananel holds that the entire issue of whether or not its Mamayit can be reduced to one element and one variable, and that is whether it's Muktzah or not, is a Dover HaNital or a Dover She'eino Nital. And the Gemara says that Mara V'Chatzin is a Dover She'eino Nital. That's how Rabbeinu Chananel learns the Sugya. That means that the Sefel, now through the mechanism of Dover She'eino Nital, becomes a Mamayit. The Ritva is not happy with that. The Ritva thinks that whether it's Mamayit or not is a Mitzias question. Will it actually be removed or will it not be removed? The Ritva is not satisfied with that either. He wants to add another Tanai, that you need, so to speak, something inherent in the object itself that establishes it as a Dover She'eino Nital. Because the Ritva holds that in order to be Mamayit, you have to define a Dover Hamamayit. You know, you have different categories and you need a Dover Hamamayit, and the Dover Hamamayit in this case means that it's an Eino Nitel B'Shabbos. I'm not sure about Rashi over here. And Rashi, if you take a look at Rashi back on Daf Ayin Vav, Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, when Rashi says, De Islay Ognin, if you take a look at the last line in Rashi on Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, he says, V'dome L'chofer. So I'm not exactly sure what he means by Dome L'chofer. He might mean what the Ritva is saying, that since it's Dome L'chofer, therefore lo nechshedu Yisrael al Chil Shabbos. Or maybe he means that since it's Dome L'chofer, therefore it's Mukta, and he holds like Rabbeinu Chananel that everything depends upon whether it's a Dover Nital or a Dover Sheino Nital. Now it's very interesting because the impression you get from the from Rabbeinu Chananel, and I saw this in Masifta over and over again, is that we're talking about a klisha malachto le'isur. Now that's fascinating because I'm not, again, we're not learning mukta, but I'm not sure if klisha malachto le'isur is mukta. You're allowed to move it l'tzarek guf l'tzarek makomo. So there are many, many scenarios in which you'd be allowed to move a klisha malachto le'isur. So let's say it's more of a chatzin, I needed the space, so I'd be allowed to move it. But apparently, it doesn't have a carte blanche heter of tiltul. There is an isur tiltul with regard to a klisha malachta isur. A klisha malachta heter pretty much is mutul for everything, except for mechamel itself. But that's not really an isur tiltul. A real bona fide isur tiltul applies in the case of a klisha malachta isur.
Maybe that's why at the beginning he introduces the element of mutza. You right. Should know there are two problems here.
Right. We got to solve two problems. We have to fulfill two conditions. The Ritva wants us, first of all, to convince ourselves that he's not going to do this kind of thing. He's not going to excavate this sefel, because if he does so, he violates Melechus Chofer, Lo Nechshedu. But in addition to that, as a secondary, almost like through the back door, he has another condition, and that is there has to be something inherent in the Dover HaMemayit, and the Dover HaMemayit has to be classified as Muktz. Okay. Now, I want to study with you a Rashi, which I think is really fascinating here on Daf Zayin Ayin Zayin Amid Beis. We have a sugya here of Rabbevi Bar Abaye. It's approximately 10 lines up before the end of Ayin Zayin Amid Beis. And he has a case called Bona Itzdeba Gabi Itzdeba.
Yeah.
Right? And he has a few different, two different scenarios. The first scenario is Yesh Ba Itzdeba Tachtona Arba Memait. So it means that the condition of a Dover HaMemait is that it has to have a length of four tefachim, meaning on the kosel, and in this case, the itzba taktona, in the first case of the two cases, has that requirement. However, as far as the itzba elyona is concerned, the itzba elyona does not have arba in this first scenario, and therefore it's not mamait. But it doesn't matter, because we have the itzba taktona, and that could be mamait. Inami, the second scenario, is ein betachtona arba v'yesh be'elyona arba, that even though the lower itzdeba on the bottom doesn't have arba, but nevertheless the higher itzdeba, the alyona on top, has arba. So between the first case and the second case you have the word memait, and Rashi adds three words. Rashi says memait, this is about 10 lines up from the bottom of the Yomud, or maybe 15. Dal elyona mihacha. Now, there are two ways of reading those words in Rashi. There's a balabatish way and there's a more lumdish way. The balabatish way is to say, dal elyona mihacha. I don't need the elyona. I mean, who cares about the elyona? I have the tachtona, and it has all the requirements, all the dimensions. It's racha of arba tfachim. and it's above the ground by three tefachim, so there's no din of smicha, aras smicha. So who needs the Elyona? But there's another way of reading Rashi, and it could be that Rashi is saying, when he says Dal Elyona Mihacha, he means it in a halachic sense. He wants to remove the Elyona. And if that be the case, then you have to ask yourself the question, why? Why does Rashi care about removing the Elyona? Why does he need the halacha of Dal over here? What's bothering him about the Itzba Elyona? I mean, don't pay any attention to the Itzba Elyona. You have a Mamayit in the Itzba Tachtona. Why does Rashi have to add Dal Elyona Mehocha? What does he need that for?
It's a chotze. It's interfering.
That's what I wanted to suggest. That maybe what Rashi is worried about is that the idea of Mamayit is that you make it easier to get access to the wall, or the top of the wall. So what happens when you have an Itztaba? You know, you want to jump on top of the Itztaba, right? Or climb on top of the Itztaba. The only problem is, how are you going to jump on top of the Itztaba HaTachtona if immediately on top of it is an Itztaba Elyona? And therefore, if the whole purpose of a Mamayit is what we call Nicha Tashmishta, which is a phrase that's going to appear over and over and over again in the next couple of blot in Erevin, then in this case, it's really not, it's not a case of Nicha Tashmishta. You're going to have to apply some halacha called Dal. So now I ask myself, well, what is this halacha of Dal? How does it operate? I mean, Lamaisa, I can't jump on top of the Itzba Taktona. So I was thinking that Rashi is telling us a Gevaldige Chiddush. That Rashi is saying that once you have a Dovra Mamayit, I don't care whether or not Lamaisa you have to be able to jump on top of it and reach the top of the Kosel. All I need is that it qualifies in and of itself as a Dovra Mamayit. And that's the Aluch of Dal. So even in this reality, there's no way, Lamaisa, that I can jump on the Itzba Tachtona, but that doesn't matter, because the Itzba Tachtona itself, in and of itself, if I would isolate it, has all the qualifications of a Dovra Mamayit. But then I have one problem, and that is the next Gemara. Because the next Gemara says, Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabba Baravua, Sulam Sheshlivosa of Parchos, Im Yesh Beshliva Tachtona, Arba Mimait. So in this case, the Shliva Tachtona is Arba. It's mamish parallel to the previous case of the Itzbel HaTachtona. Inami, Ein B'Shliva Tachtona Arba, V'yesh B'Shliva Elyona Arba. And Rashi says that in the second, I'm sorry, the Gemara says that in the second case, it's Mimait, if you have no Ein Bein Zeh L'Zeh Shlosha. In other words, if you can apply the principle of Lavud, so that's going to allow you to combine the top Shlivos with the bottom Shlivos, right? Because the bottom Shlivos in the second case did not have Arba. So in some sense, the bottom shliva could not serve as a mamayit unless we get, you know, we get on board or we integrate the top shliva. So how do you integrate the two? Because the top shliva, as we'll soon see in Rashi, could not be a mamayit because it's parchos by avir. It's not grounded on the karka. So it's the bottom shliva that's grounded on the karka, but it doesn't have arba. So I need to integrate the two. Fine. So Rashi says, if ein bein shlosha shlamata, is then we can integrate the two. But I'm more interested now in the first of the two scenarios. And that is, if you have a case where the Shliva Tachtona has Arba, then you could be Mamayit. So I looked in Rashi, and I was expecting Rashi to tell me that Dal HaElyona, right? Just like in the first case of the two cases of Rab Bibi, where we said that we have to get rid of the Itzba Elyona, and Rashi says we're going to apply a principle called Dal Elyona. I was anticipating that Rashi once again to be consistent, would say that in the case where the Shliva Tachtona has Arba, then we're going to say Dal Meyacha Shliva Hel Yona. And guess what? Rashi doesn't say it. If you take a look three lines before the end of the Amud, Rashi says, "If Yesh B'Shliva Tachtona Arba, Uba Nismayda Kosol Me'asor Me'mayit." He leaves out the whole thesis of Dal. You know, I always say that, my Rebbe used to always say, you can learn from what Rashi says and learn from what Rashi doesn't say. It seems to me that Rashi is making a fundamental difference here between the two cases of Itztaba al-Gabi Itztaba and the Shlivos HaParchos B'Yavir. In the case of Itztaba al-Gabi Itztaba, if the Mamayit is the Itzba Tachtona, he needs to activate a principle called Dal. But in the case of the Shlivos HaParchos B'Yavir, he drops the ball on the principle of Dal. And maybe
what's the distance between the two of them? It's the Val Gabe, it's the they're close. So he has to say
more than that. Not only they're close, but they're one on top of the other.
On top of the other.
There's no way you could jump on the Itzba Tachtona, which is covered by the Itzba Leona. You're going to have to activate the principle of Dal. But what's the case of Shlivos?
One's here and one's here.
It's on an incline.
Yeah.
I have a beautiful picture of it here in my Masifta. You know, they have colored photographs here. But
so
you have it? You have it in that other book. Yeah, right. It's exactly the same thing. And you'll see that it goes up. So it means that when you get on top, let's say you climb onto the Shliva Tachtona, there's nothing above you. There's nothing preventing you from going higher and higher and higher. And therefore, Rashi doesn't need the Halach of Dal. When does Rashi need the Halach of Dal? That's only in the case of Itzvah, because the Itzvah is mamish hovering on top of the Tachtona. So you got to get rid of the Elyona if you want to say that it's meaningful. So Rashi has a new Halach, a Chalushem Dal, that I don't care about the Lamaisa, I care about whether or not inherently in the Itzvah Tachtona, I have all the requirements to be a qualify as a Dovra Mamayit. But when he gets to the Shliva, he doesn't even have a kasha to answer, because there is no kasha to ask over here. In the case of Shliva, he doesn't need any Halach of Dal, because there's nothing on top of the Shliva HaTachtona that's Ma'akiv. Okay.
We could test your thesis.
Yeah.
Where else does Rashi use the Lashon of Dal? Other than mathematics.
So Rashi, at the very end of a very long Rashi, Dima Maskel Inami, so just for, you know, because of time constraints, instead of going through the Rashi word by word, let's just pull out the last line in this Rashi, which would be, if you count up from the bottom of
where
the Amud, it's 9 lines up from the top, from the bottom. 9 lines up from the bottom. Rashi says,
On Ayin Zayin Amud Beis,
that miut ba'avir lav shmei miut. So Rashi is trying to explain why you need the lower shliva. In other words, you can't just say, well, you know, the upper shliva has arba and farta gamaisa, that's not enough. You have to integrate the lower shliva as well. Why? Because if you don't integrate the lower shliva, Rashi says, then miut bi avir lav shmei miut. So you can't have something that's floating above the ground, you know, more than 3 tvachim above the ground. And therefore we're going to have to integrate the top with the bottom, right? The elyona with the tachtona. And it's very interesting. It's what I call a shituf pula. In other words, each one contributes. The Elyona contributes the Rochav Dalet, and the Tachtona has its feet on the ground, so to speak.
Grounds it.
And it grounds you. It grounds you. So it's no longer Parch Ba'av. Now, almost all the Rishonim disagree with Rash. Whether it's the Rashba, the Ritva, the Rambam seems to disagree, the Ravid in Hasogas D seems to disagree. The only one who agrees to Rashi is the Shulchan Aruch, and the Mishnah Berurah goes wild over this. You know, why did the Mechaber passing like Rashi against all the Rishonim? But in any event, the Rishonim hold that there's no requirement in Mamayit that a Dover Mamayit has to be grounded and attached to the ground. It could be Parchos B'Av. And I was very bothered by this Machlokas because I felt in my bones it's a very fundamental Machlokas, but I honestly couldn't get a handle on it. Now, I found
what's the source of the other side?
The other side.
What's their source?
I
understand Rashi.
Bulinader, I'll come back to Rashi that a little bit later. I'll come back a little later, depending. Okay. I'm looking here at the clock and seeing what we can accomplish. So
no problem.
We'll have to get back to that. But just to conceptualize the Machlokes, I wanted to understand what it's all about. Let me, you know, I'm into Hakiris, you know. Let me try a Hakira and tell me if this makes any sense. How do we understand the process or the mechanism of miut? Yesh lachkar. Does miut mean simply making it easier for me to get to the top of the kosel? That would be, I think, our intuitive understanding of miut. And you could have many different ways of facilitating this, you know, with, like you said before, sulam. You could talk about an itzdabah. The Gemara is going to have a whole discussion about a ziz. You know, you just have a platform that's attached to the kosel. The Gemara is going to talk about an ilan. You could actually make, branches, you know, cut out branches or shape the branches. I mean, there are many different ways of getting up to the top of the tree. It doesn't make sense, Lefi Anias Daiti, that the Dover HaMamayit has to be grounded. What difference does it make if it's grounded? If it can help me get up to the top, you know, again, just like I said before, that Rashi was introducing the halach of dal as a new definition of a Dover HaMamayit on a halachic level, a legal category, I think Rashi's requirement, or shall we say, his disqualification of a Dover HaMamayit that's Porech Ba'avir, is also a reflection of Rashi introducing a kind of conceptual understanding of what a Dover HaMamayit is. And Rashi doesn't really give us a clue. He just tells us, Miut Bi'avir Lav Shmei Miut. But it does sound like, you know, Rashi is saying it, I love this. You know, he's formulating a principle.
Wow.
So I want to suggest, and please knock me down because it's pretty revolutionary, that Rashi understood miut in a whole different way. Miut doesn't mean to get higher up to the kosel, but rather to bring the kosel down. What do I mean?
Access.
What I mean to say is that you have a kosel of 10 tvach. And al pidin, that's a mechitza. And that mechitza is now going to separate the two chatzeros on both sides to make it impossible to set up a common eruv between the two of them. Now, if I want to reduce or diminish the size of this mechitza of 10 tefachim, I can do it in one of two ways. I could either cut out the bottom of the mechitza, so to speak, or I could lower the top. And if I want to cut out the bottom, what I'm going to say is the bottom is not part of my mechitza. The bottom is not in any way a barrier or inhibiting my ability to climb over the coastal to the other side, to the other, you know, Humpty Dumpty, you know, to get to the other side of the mountain. Because I have an itzdabah, or I have a korah, a ziz, I have whatever I have. So in that sense, what I'm doing is, I am reducing the kosel. How am I reducing the kosel? By saying that I'm already halfway up the kosel. Why? Because I'm going to jump on top of this shleva or whatever it might be. And therefore my distance to get to the other side of the kosel is not 10 tvachim, it's only 6 tvachim. Lamazagim. But there's another way of saying it. Instead of my putting myself halfway up the kosel, such that now the barrier is very insignificant, it's not a strong barrier, I'm already halfway up the kosel because I just climbed up the staircase. We could say something else, that let's reduce the kosel. It's like, honey, I shrunk the kids, I'm going to put my hand on top of the kosel, and I'm going to lower the kosel. Well, how can I lower the kosel? And the answer is, by raising the karka. If I raise the karka from the bottom, memela, I've lowered the kosel. How do you raise the karka? Well, I'll give you 15 different ways of raising the karka. But what's common to all those different ways is that it's grounded in the karka. When I have something that's memayit and it's grounded in the karka, then it can lift up the karka, and memela, as a natural result, the kosel has been diminished. It's no longer mechitz of yud tvachim. In a certain sense, the way we're presenting it, the Rishonim understood intuitively a mitzius over here. It's a hechatimtza. It's how can I diminish the kosel in a way that now, benachas, I can get all the way up to the top of the kosel. I have no problem. The kosel is not a barrier for me to cross over the kosel and get to the other side, to the chotzer hasmucha. And that's a hechatimtza. Rashi sees it in conceptual terms. Rashi wants to set up a situation where the karkoes hachotzer is lifted, is raised, so that the kosel really doesn't begin, if you measure it, until after you finish the miut, whatever's memayit, from the point of memayit and up, that's where you start calculating the size of the kosel. And therefore, Rashi requires that it be attached to the karka. Now, I have in front of me a sefer from a friend of mine, Rabbi Rafael Ben Simon, and I wish him my best regards. I haven't seen him or spoken to him in ages, but he writes here that he believes that the machlokas between Rashi and the other Rishonim is dependent upon a different issue, which is somewhat related to what we're saying, and that's the shita of the Rishonim in Itzdaba. They have a shita that in Itzdaba, which does not reach the Rosh HaKosel, is a mute, but only with regard to the din of Benachas. And that means that we have a halacha that the Rosh HaKosel, if you want to, move things around like fruits on top of the Rosh HaKosel, which of the two chatzeros has access to the Rosh HaKosel and is allowed to use it? It's the one that has benachas. It's Tashmisho benachas. And this halacha of miut is going to offer that ben chatzer, who has the miut on his side of the chatzer, a noach tashmisho status. But it doesn't in any way help us to be ma'ariv with one eruv. And even if you were to set up an itzibah on both sides of the kosel, you would not be allowed, the Torah, the halacha would not recognize an eruv between the two chatzeros, because for that, you need what's called magiel ad rosh hakosel. For example, we're going to have it in the case of a sulam. But in a case like an itzibah case, the best you can have is Tashmisho benachas, but you cannot generate halacha of eruv on achas to set one eruv between the two chatzeros. Rashi certainly disagrees with that. If you look at Rashi on Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, Divra Maskil Im Yesh B'Miyuto Dalid, Rashi says the Havi Kepesach. So Rashi is saying that a miut of Dalid has a din of a Pesach. If it's a Dovra Mamayit and has the required qualifications and dimensions of Dalit, then it's a Mamayit, then it's a Pesach, which means that obviously you're allowed to set up an Erev between the two Chatzeres on two sides because there's a Pesach between in the Kosel. And we know from the Sugis that we had earlier in Mesech Erevin that if there's a Pesach in the Kosel, then the two Chatzeres on the two sides of the kosel could set up one Eruv. So it could be that this machlokas Rishonim about whether or not there's miut ba'avir is Rashi and the Rishonim are divided on this issue of whether or not an itzdaba can generate a Pesach and permit one Erev for the two Chatzeros. The Rishonim hold against Rashi that miut is not memait the entire kosel unless it reaches the top of the kosel, but rather the miut gives you what you call tashmisho benachas. So therefore there's no nafkamina between whether the miut is bi'avir or it's connected to the karka with, you know, with its feet grounded on the karka. It makes no difference because what you're driving for is, and your goal is, tashmisho benachas. So tashmisho benachas validates the miut, or that's the goal of the miut. And therefore, there's no rhyme or reason to require kosher l'karka. But Rashi, on the other hand, holds that miut is not just tashmisho benachas, to allow you to use the Rosh HaKosel, but rather it's a din of Eruv. It's a din that we connect and integrate the two chatzeros through a Pesach, through the method and the viability of a Pesach. Oh, if that be the case, then Rashi wants to say the following, that the miut itself, if it's not just a chetimtza to make it into a nachas, then it sets up a din of a Pesach, and that's how miut operates. And therefore, it's not enough to have a miut in the avir. You need that it's grounded on the kosa, on the karka of the chotzer. If it's grounded in the karka of the chotzer, then it can be considered a pesach. So that's one possibility. Now, Tosus Dibra Maschil Im is a very long and complicated Tosus. We'll just say a few words about this Tosus. Tosus asks, what's the difference between itzdaba that doesn't require that ad shi agil rosh hakosel, and the Gemara in Daf Ayin Ches is going to say that in the case of Sulam, we require that it reaches ad rosh hakosel, or within three tfachim of the rosh hakosel, then we apply lavut. Well, why is Sulam required that it goes up to the top of the kosel, and in the case of itzdaba, we don't require that it goes up to the top of the kosel? So Tosus quotes the Ri, that itzba needs dalet al dalet so that you can stand on top of the itzba, and therefore you don't need ad she'agil rosh hakosel. In the case of sulam, which doesn't have dalet al dalet, therefore you need to be able to reach through this itzba the rosh hakosel. That's the Ri. And the Marsha raises an objection to the Ri. He doesn't understand when Tosfos raises his objection to Rashi, why doesn't he mention the case of Ziz? The Gemara says explicitly that Ziz requires Dalet al Dalet. And now we're saying that a Kosel doesn't require Dalet al Dalet. And again, you could answer with the same answer to the Ri, that since the kosel doesn't have dalet al dalet, that's why it's so factor it has to be magil rosh hakosel, whereas in the case of a ziz, since it has dalet al dalet, therefore you don't need ad rosh hakosel. But in any event, the Marsha wants to know, why didn't Tosus raise this objection to Rashi from the halacha, the sugya of ziz, where the Gemara says explicitly you need dalet al dalet, and yet you don't need ad rosh hakosel in the case of ziz. And the Marsha writes, V'yesh liyashev, the hacha b'samcho li'itzdaba l'kosel gufe, in the case of the itzdaba, he attaches the itzdaba to the kosel itself, and therefore sagi b'meshach dalet, aval hasam b'samach hasulam liziz v'lo l'kosel, boy ziz gufe dalet al dal lios pesach lekosel. In other words, the Rasha understands that there are two categories of miut. There is category number one, which is samach hamiut lekosel, And here all you need is a mir of dalid. And then you have another category of lo samacha sulam lekosel, but rather leziz, and there you're going to need a mute of dalid al dalid. And we really have to understand the logic that compels this distinction. Why is there such a tremendous emphasis on whether or not the miut is samach lekosel gufe, or it's leaning on the ziz? And apparently, according to the Marsha's explanation, if the miut is samach lekosel gufe, then it's memayit the gova of the kosel. Just like Rashi said with regard to itzdeba, therefore we don't need more than a miut of dalet tfachin. But in the case of lo samacha sulam lekosel, you can't say that nismait shira kosel al yidea sulam if the sulam is not even samach lekosel. So then we're going to have to assume that this sulam is trying to break up, that the ziz is no longer considered a mir on avir, you know, it's poreach ba'avir. So the mute itself is the ziz, and therefore it needs to be dalet al dalet, which is the shear of, you know, of chashivas, let's say, for example, in a chotzer, in order to magbia the karka of the chotzer, and therefore you need dalet al dalet. Okay, then, so this is where we're going to stop for today, and Mr. Shem, we hope to get together again next week.